CliffCentral.com.
There we go. Get it working eventually. Good morning, everybody. It's a Friday, and Leanne Moll and I are here to look after you. Plus, this morning we're also going to be joined by Tumi Morake, who we haven't had on the show for a long, long time, and excited as I am to have her back. I'm a little, like, trepidatious. It's been ages since I saw her last, and she's been doing so many things. It's always hard to kind of keep tabs on Tumi because you first have to find out where in the world she is. Then you have to... Then you have to find out what she's doing, because she's always involved in some new project. She's one of the busiest and hardest working people I know. So we'll find out, no doubt, in the next couple of minutes. But it is a Friday. For many people, it's like a semi, kind of semi-weekend day today, because yesterday was a public holiday.
Such a weird day.
It's so weird. And even the light outside, the weather's been strange. I don't know about you, but I woke up at 2, 3 a.m. on Thursday morning. Because the rain was coming down so hard. And I was like, more rain? Do we need this now?
Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd done this bit. You know, like we're okay with the rain. We can stop now. It's enough already.
Every time I open the curtains, I'm like, it's raining again.
Again.
It's raining again.
No, that's how it goes. Mm. Did you have a nice day off yesterday? What did you do?
Oh, well, you know, I work for a UK company, so no public holiday
all
there.
Right.
In fact, it took me until about 11 a.m. to realize it was a public holiday in South Africa. I ended up Googling, is it a public holiday in South Africa?
That's what you had to do to find out?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, your brain does this like 180 in a few seconds. And you go, oh, am I supposed to be having that public holiday feeling?
Yeah.
It was all very confusing.
Oh, man. I do not like these public holidays that don't fall on a Friday or a Monday. They drive me up the wall. I've discussed this a million times, and I'm going to go there again. But, ugh, enough already. Can we just sort this out? It always just ruins and makes invalid the next day. I mean, like today, I've got a couple of things to do, but none of them are really work-orientated. But then I thought, well, since I'm going to be going into the office today anyway, maybe I'll do this and do that. And you end up then, you know, it becomes a work day. But I've got two different kind of meetings. Neither of them are really serious meetings. So both are out of the office, but I'm going to the office first. And therefore, I kind of feel like I'm making some attempt to make it look like a work day today. It's the laziest attempt ever in the history of humanity, but I'm still trying, you know. I'm doing more than some people. A lot of people have gone on holiday already from Wednesday. A lot of people
Everyone's given up.
Yes. I went to someone's birthday last night in Sandton, like the heart of Sandton, somewhere that is usually packed with people. And it was quiet. And I thought, something odd going on here. It's because people have already decided they're either going on holiday or they're staying at home and doing nothing, not spending money, you know.
Yeah, I think it's more the former, because I'm seeing a lot of TikTok videos of people actually stuck in traffic trying to get
God.
Their holiday destinations.
Really?
I think, I think people are just cut full of everything, and they're like, we don't care anymore. We just want to get out. We just want to get away. We haven't been to our holiday destination in a long time.
So I heard
we're doing it now.
I heard there are always problems at the like toll gates and stuff, right? Always people who are, you know, stuck at the toll gates on a big day like it would have been Wednesday or yesterday, because they're on their way to the thing, so that the traffic backs up. And I've always wondered, like, you could open up all those toll booths, and if they're not all open up, it's outrageous. But people are like, you know, they had enough now. End of the year. I said this to Simpiwe the other day. We were sitting in a meeting, and some of the people in the meeting started talking about, what are we doing next year? And I was like, whoa, hold on. We're not discussing next year until next year. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah.
I see Tumi's there. Shall we get her on? Let's get her on.
Yeah.
Hello, Morake.
Hello. Wait. Hello, how are you?
Hello, my gorgeous darling honey pie. How the hell are you? I miss you, you know that. When I see you, make my day.
you know how much I miss you? I'm very focused. Like, you know, people want the land. I took the studio. I'm like, it's okay. Keep the land. I'm taking the studio. That.
You went you went into the studio this morning. I hope you weren't expecting us
to be
there.
If you're going to leave it open, I'm jumping in. I'm expropriating and appropriating. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Gareth?
I'm great. It's nice to see you. What are you busy with? Because I said to Leanne before you came on this morning, it's always like I'm nervous because first of all, I'm glad you're in South Africa for a while because you're always all over the world. Second of all, you're always working on like 2, 3, 5 projects at one time. Yeah. You are like the hardest working comedian in South Africa, or at least the hardest working entertainer in South Africa. And and I'm
Is it hard working or is it ADD?
I don't know, but you've always got like 10 plates spinning. Plus you're a mum, you know, plus you're a wife, plus you're all of those things. It's just, I'm blown away by how much you get done in a day. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I think I used to work to run away from, you see the other titles that you gave me, the mother, the wife, the work is an excuse to go. I can't mother right now. I've got a gig.
How are the family? Is everybody good?
They're fantastic. The kids are away on camp.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Having the time of their lives.
Ooh.
Because, you know, I've kept them in online school. So I always try and with my husband try and find things to make up for keeping them from the world, you know.
What is
they
this,
want to live their best life.
What is this camp? People want to know because other parents are also trying to palm their kids off on a camp. What is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Then you have to be committed. You must Google these things. So this one's around the corner in Machalis, and it's pretty dope and affordable. Because usually they go to the other one, the one in Durban.
Then
I was like, listen, costs, ne? Because, it's been the year it's been. So because now with the Durban one, you have to fly them there, and then you must give them pocket money. And so they at this one, that's like an hour away, and, you know, it's fun.
That sounds amazing. Lots of people very excited to have you on. Oh my God, Dumi, says Bavish. Elon is God, says, hi, sis Dumi. You look fabulous, says Alice in Wonderland. Sandile says, sis Dumi. So lots of people excited to see you.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Oh, there's a whole chat situation. I see it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Well, listen, I mean, we were saying what a weird day this is because of yesterday being a public holiday, but there's a lot going on and we've got to talk about this. Leanne has a story. This is just fantastic. You know, sometimes these things happen and they get pushed to the back of the newspaper, but I think this should be on the front. This Nigerian dude, he's a Satanist. He was buried in his car with the music playing.
I mean, there's so much to unpack here, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
All right, so tell us.
Let's break it down in pieces.
I'm at that age where I have to lower my glasses to read my phone.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So his name is Simon Ordo. And there's a... Maybe I can show it here.
Is that
Simon
him?
Ordo.
Hey, hello, Simon Ordo.
Good
to know you.
Someone okay. Odo.
So he is Odo.
The caption says, Simon Odo's family said he was a good man. That's just all it says.
Okay.
But before we get into this.
What are they going to say? Imagine them saying, yeah, he was a terrible person. He was a shithead. What a piece of shit that Simon Odo. Imagine that's your family.
His redeeming quality is that you are Satanist.
Do you remember we were discussing that local horror story with the Satanists, with the murders?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is it called? Devil's Dorp.
Yes.
Yeah. And remember I said to you at the time, I'd actually done a bit of research, and being a Satanist didn't mean what we think it is.
Okay.
It's actually quite a legit religion, if any religions are legit. But it is a legit one, and they actually do try to do good. It's not the way we think Satanists are.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
So keep that in mind.
All right. So next time I meet a Satanist, I shouldn't run in the opposite direction and go, what are you gonna do for me? That's what we'll do.
I blame the fear mongering of churches. But that's why people think Satanism is this hectic, like demon drink, blood drinking thing. Well, I blame churches.
They used to tell us when we were at school. I mean, everyone used to tell us this. Churches and schools used to say that they are the ones who slaughter like animals and babies, and then they they drink the blood, and they have these rituals in the woods. And I mean, they put the fear of everything into me. Jesus, I was terrified. I thought if you meet a Satanist, it's tickets. They're going to take all your organs. You're not going to wake up, and it's going to be a bloodbath. I mean, I still think that deep down inside. You can propagandize for the Satanists all you like. I'm still going to be a little bit unhappy.
Yeah, but think of it this way, Gareth. Where do you want to be in the afterlife? Because that's longer than real life, than being alive, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to be in the place where there's constant, or do you want to be like a pang, tong, pang, crang, ting,
No, obviously.
Like, that's how I pictured in my head.
Obviously, so but like, I don't know that the Satanists, if they are these do-gooders that Leanne's trying to portray them as, I don't think they're going to the bad place either. I want to be in the bad place because all my friends will be there. What am I going to do in heaven? No one knows me there. All right, so
you'll be with Simon Ordo.
Oh yes, you'll be our lift because yes,
popularly known as King of Satan.
Oh,
he's been buried in a car in his village in southeastern Enugu State.
Okay,
following his death at the age of 74, he lived a good life.
Okay,
The car engine was on.
Yes.
And Simon Ordo's favorite song was playing in the vehicle, which served as his coffin.
Fantastic.
It was the first time such a funeral had taken place in Aji village, locals said.
Yeah.
Mr. Ordo requested to be buried this way. This is according to his son, Ucheno Ordo.
Yes.
The burial in an idling vehicle signified his smooth transit into his next world, some of his children said. Not
Model
all of
and make
children,
of car? Just,
what kind of car? Does it say what kind of car?
Doesn't list.
No.
Doesn't list. Let's...
could be a crappy car no one wanted to inherit.
This was from such a dodgy website that I couldn't even email it to myself. I had to screenshot it.
Well, I've got a picture.
That's why I'm battling.
I've got a picture of what supposedly is Simon Ordo's burial. So there you can see the car, his coffin's on top of it, and then they're throwing the dirt on it.
So he's not in the car.
No, he's in the coffin on top of the car.
With the car, not
that's what they say. But that doesn't look like that doesn't look like a fancy car. That looks like a Corolla, like an Uber.
No, but also, guys, we've topped this guy. There's a guy in South Africa who was buried in his car.
Oh.
Remember? There's a guy who was buried in his car. Yeah. I think it was in KZN or somewhere. But I know that in South Africa, there is an uncle that was buried. But they didn't keep the car running.
Oh.
Yeah, Mr. Odo, they killed this Odo meter by keeping the car running.
Here he is. This is the guy. That's Simon Odo.
I feel like that's the expression on his face when he realized they put him on top of instead of inside his car.
So a few of his relatives.
Yes.
In the village, said that Mr. Ordo was a good man who shunned evil in his dealings with people.
Mm-hmm.
He died in the early hours of Tuesday during an interview with BBC Igbo in 2020. Mr. Ordo said he had inherited the practice of worshipping Satan from his parents and grandparents who were Satanists.
Okay.
But he insisted that he did not help others to harm fellow human beings. He said he had 57 wives and had lost count of the number of children and grandchildren he had.
Okay. So he leaves
57 wives.
He leaves a hell of a legacy. But I would have thought
57.
57 wives. So he's lost count of the kids and the grandkids. I reckon he put everything he had into that car. Everything. Because if those kids and grandkids thought they were going to inherit, yes, they got bad news. They'll get like.
I'm finished for Annette's comments.
What does Annette say?
What's Annette saying?
What's she saying? Let me see.
It's not a sign, is it? Net wins the day.
That's beautiful. Simon Odo, what an interesting guy. So he got buried on top of his car. That's beautiful, Leanne. I mean, that's exactly what we need to hear before Christmas.
But also, his song was, what's getting me is his song was playing. So it was obviously on the car radio. How long is it? It's going to still be playing underneath. Yeah. I mean, since Tuesday, it'll still be going.
It'll still be going now. But I wonder how loud they made it. Because if you walk past the graveyard, can you hear like...
And what is his favorite song?
Because there was a Shebeen not too far from my parents' house a while ago. And it's since closed down. But at a certain time of night, you could actually hear the... You could hear it all night long. It was fantastic. My parents didn't think so, but I thought it was it's like a private nightclub, but only if the wind blew in a certain direction. There was this Shebeen in it. Yes.
So Shebeen. You know, you said Shebeen, and then I pictured a Shebeen in my head, and then you
I ruined it by saying near my parents' house.
Was playing. Yeah, and then the whole image just died.
But it was. Being,
you grew up in a township.
No.
With a Shebeen. Karen, things we never knew about you.
I'm in a township right now. Didn't you know that? You just don't know which one. No. You know what's funny is like you talk about being buried in your car. And last night I caught an Uber home, right? But so there are Ubers and there are Ubers. So I'm not going to pay the, I don't know, 570 Rand or whatever it is for an Uber Black. So instead I get the Uber X. But Jesus, you take your chances. Sometimes these guys are really... They're lovely and their car is fantastic. And, you know, I got into one last night. Yes. It stank like the armpits of 1,000 people in that car. It was like, it was like 8 homeless men have slept in there for the last 6 days. I got home and I had to shower. I felt filthy. You know, when you open the windows, even though it's chilly, because you're just like, I'd rather have the fresh air because if I close these windows, I will die. I'll hotbox myself to death in this stinky, sweaty car. And it had like manky seats in the back as well. I was like, I should have paid for that upgrade.
Not did you good. Say anything?
No,
I'm hoping you didn't.
No, I didn't say no, of course not.
Oh, thank God.
Why? Because you lose points. Why? Why? Leanne, why? Why not? Why?
Because it's embarrassing. It's awkward. Avoid
conflict. No, but you're empowering him by telling him. No, you're empowering him, dog. Your car smells. I can smell the orgy that happened between the homeless people here. I don't want to be a part of it.
Horrible.
Can you do something? Because it's happened to me before, and it smelled like a bag of onions. And it was in the morning. Yeah. And this guy, it was like, fix your life, my guy. Because then he goes, sorry, my sister, can I please pop petrol fast? I'm like, guy. who's doing this process here? But luckily, that one wasn't even an Uber. It was a Bolt. I learned my lesson. Ooh. I was like, listen, no.
Ooh. No, it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's bad. Corona's Boring says that what you call an Uber like that is a soup kitchen. Oh, that's funny. That's beautiful.
You have such cool listeners, man.
Yeah. So Wendy says, Wendy's obviously very much more organized than the rest of us. I always check the car before I get in. You can always enter another one or order another one.
Another one.
But no, not really. No. You can't because what are you going to say? Like you could get in, go.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry, I'm out. It. Even COVID would get out of that car.
COVID would get out of that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you don't need a mask because COVID is like, don't involve me. Oh. I can't work like
this. No, it was, but so I spent the entire route home just like making my friends laugh by sending them messages about this car and how disgusting it was.
I'm sorry, friend. Stop being a miser. It was actually a message from the universe. Stop being cheap.
Yeah.
It's not cute.
I said, seriously, if I'm dead because this Uber driver eats me, tell my family I love them. And then I recorded the music. You want to hear the music? Listen.
Yes.
I don't know if you can even hear it over the sound of the car. It's like Maskande music and with women going in the background the whole time. So I thought, oh, Jesus, no, I'm not going to make it home. I called it a Zuluba. Because I could hear the guy was like, he picked up the phone halfway through as well and was talking to his friend, but I could hear it was Zulu, so I called it a Zuluba.
He was probably calling his friend to hear when you left Naka smelling like homeless people. God, what is happening here? I can see by the look of this Mlungu behind me. Shubi Leba.
Exactly.
They're giving me a bad rap.
Well, I mean, I thought I'd be buried in that car. I seriously thought, like Simon Ordo, I would be buried in that car. That's what I thought when I got in. Anyway, I got home safely, so no one died. It was good. It was good. So, Dumi, let's just, we got to do some headlines this morning. You know, it's no politics Friday, so we're going to steer clear of that. But I know you've got some things to, poor Jacob Zuma. This guy, he's now, they've said that they are going to have to send him back to jail. There's no appeal. But he's going to try and appeal anyway. This guy.
He must appeal. He must appeal. No, I mean, personally, he was sick. He was sick. He didn't go to a holiday to stay out of jail. He was sick. So in that time that he was sick, it still counts Uguti. He was doing time because he was in his bed. He was taking his medicine. And now they're going, ah, you're better. You feel better. How are you feeling, Baba? You're great. Good. Let's go back. It's like, but no, leave him alone. He's done his time. He was imprisoned by the bed and the medicine. He's done his time. I just feel like he must also do a video like Thabo after that whole Zodo Abantu thing.
Yes.
Where he said, kichile, kichile. Now Zuma was being like, okay. But is this still about the man? You guys hold on to things, eh? Fine. I ate it. We're fine. Ngiyidlile. Sharp. Can we move on? Leave him alone, man. He says, I'm tired, man. They're all dirty. Leave him. Why must he now be the sacrificial lamb? I'm tired. Let him just go.
That's so fantastic. Also, he's a very old man. I always have a problem with putting these very old people in jail because what's the point?
I do too. Same.
A lot of old people are already in a jail. If they're in an old age home, I mean, those places have pretty much been jails for the last 2 years anyway, right? They haven't been able to socialize with any other old people. They get their food pushed under the door.
Can't they just make some modifications to his house or wherever he is? And make him like stay in one room or make him a prisoner there.
I don't think he wants to he's not a big traveler. I don't think he wants to go somewhere in the world. He wants to be in Kandla. Just put him in his house. It's got a big fence around it anyway. He can just stay in there. Yeah. Keep within the perimeters. Yeah. We paid for it. If the fence is broken, you know, that's because we got bad contractors. We didn't know. We were getting the cheap guys. No,
we just keep him away from the women so he can't add another wife to his list. That's all. Make that the punishment. You can't have any more, man. You're done. You've kept.
But look.
You've kept.
But he had none compared to Simon Ordo. Are you joking?
Hey.
Yes. Simon Ordo, this guy.
But no, definitely. He should be in his house just with modifications. Like, no women. He has to check in or do something stupid, like do a headstand or something every 7 minutes. But no,
and don't play him Maskandi. Play him Yanos.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, I that poor guy. I mean, listen, I know he's a crook and a thief and everything else. And as Dumi says, they're all dirty. So frankly, we're either going to put everyone in jail or it's a farce. They're all of these people. You still see some of them now, the ones that have made friends with Cyril, they're all in the good books now, you know, but they were all Zuma's friends before that as well. You know, 3/4 of the cabinet are the same people who were there 10 years ago. Who are we trying to kid?
He's Bruce and Boyle, man.
Anyway.
He's Bruce and Boyle.
No, but this is the whole point. We like a sacrificial lamb. We love that. That's our favorite thing. If we can put all of our sins on one person and then send them out into the wilderness, we do that. That's what a Judas goat was for. You know they used to do that, right? They would. Yeah. You would load all your sins onto the scapegoat, that was what it was called, and then you would chase that goat into the desert. And then the whole tribe, the whole village, all of our sins went into the desert with the goat, and it would die in the desert.
I thought it was just short for escape goat for some reason.
No, it's a real thing. There was an action practiced in the Middle East, and what would happen is Dumi and Leanne and I would say, all right, well, here's this goat. Now we're going to load all of our sins onto it. So you do a ceremony where you like tie the goat up, and then we all touch the goat. We put our sins on it, and we say a little prayer.
But do you write down your sins and then?
Well, probably the goat will eat anything. As you know, goats eat anything. So then you feed the goat your sins if you're going to write them down. And then you chase it into the desert. And when it dies, your sins die with it. And then you're clean. You start again.
Sure.
That's what we do with like, we try to find someone in society who we don't like. It could be a rapper. It could be a politician. It could be anybody. And we send them into the desert with all of our sins. That's what we, metaphorically, that's what we do. It's ridiculous. So we call it scapegoating.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Now there's a whole bunch of bullshit that we don't do anymore. But Christmas is coming
every day.
Up. Are you guys doing Christmassy things, Dumi?
No, Gareth.
No.
The only Christmassy thing I'm doing is buying the children exorbitant gifts just to deal with mother's guilt. That's about it. but we are going to do the annual thing that the family does, though. We take gifts to orphanages, like my mother-in-law makes clothes for the little kids, and then we just take clothes and toys and stuff. And books. Books are really important. Awesome. Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I like that. You're kind of doing something for someone else at this time, because everybody's mostly thinking about themselves. They're like, oh, what am I going to eat? What am I going to get for myself? What am I going to buy other people? If that's part of it, that's obviously nice. But you're actually doing something for people you don't know, which is cool.
I do it mainly also for my kids because, you know, our kids have a lot. I think as modern day parents, our kids have too much, and then they become these spoiled little shits who don't know how to appreciate.
Yes.
So I like having them spend time with these. Like the last time we did it, actually, I even had them do story time with the younger kids because I need them to appreciate that they have more than they need.
Yes.
And they need to be aware of it, you know. And they're not just once a year. We've done it over Easter as well, and it's a constant conversation because I think they lose perspective because whatever they want to see at the tips of their fingers, you know.
Yeah. Most parents are concerned that they are not giving their kids enough, but I think a lot of parents are also worried that they're raising spoiled kids. I mean, I look at my two little nephews and they have lots of things and they go on holidays and they do all this interesting stuff. So my concern isn't that they aren't being resourced enough. It's like they're over-resourced, you know?
Mm.
And I think like that's a problem. You've got to bring in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
What are
you doing when I get it?
Mina, bugger all. I'm going to be with family, which is always nice. Christmas is a family time. We do a dinner on the Christmas Eve where, you know, it's the family. And then my mother always invites like other people who are strays. And like she feels sorry for people. No, she does this. I mean, there are always people that we, you know, that like family friends or whatever, but then there usually are one or two like strays at the table who my mom has said, oh, shame. They can't spend Christmas on their own. And then she invites them, and invariably I get seated next to one of these people. And then I realize why they're on their own for Christmas, because they
bless mommy.
Yeah, I know.
Aww.
So we're doing that. And then on Christmas Day, we do lots of eating and being around. If it's a nice day outside, family and friends, that's usually what it is. Although I say nice day, so far December has been so rainy that I don't think we're going to get like more than 3 hours of sun on any given day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Again, like I said, if winter arrived tomorrow, I'd feel pretty cheated.
Mm.
Yeah. But they're saying summer's not arriving because our bodies are not ready. So summer's like, oh, those are the bodies that are keeping me. No. I'm not coming.
No, I must tell you, for the last 3 days, I've got some really good news. I got to within 2 kilograms of my ideal weight yesterday. Because because I've been pooing water for the last 3 days. I don't know what happened.
Oh.
I ate a lot of dried.
Not an overshare at all.
A lot of dried fruit. And I've been eating mostly healthily. And I've just lost 4 or 4.5 kilograms within 3 days. So I'm loving it. I'm feeling good. I've got the summer body is just about here. 2 kilograms shy. Aren't you excited for me? Isn't that great news?
I was, but all I'm thinking about is you shitting water, friend, because I'm not entirely sure why. I mean, I know you're comfortable with us, but damn, brother.
You know me. You know I'm going to shit.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Sorry.
Yeah, not actually, Christmas.
I was just going to say, though, on the story of weight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My brother surprised me with 2 weeks of meals from Fit Chef.
Oh, nice.
So that's one of those, you know, ready meal things. Mm-hmm. But it comes with all the juices and the power shots and protein smoothies and everything. But I tell you what, I can actually think properly for the first time in a while because I've got like proper nutrients in my body. It what makes a huge difference.
What the hell were you eating before? Like handfuls of flour. What were you eating?
No, just not enough fruit, veg. I mean, no one has the time to consume enough fruit and veg that you're supposed to every single day in the form of smoothies, these little power shots and, you know, juices. And no one's got time to do that and to prepare veggies with every single meal. But it makes a huge difference to just like the way your brain works.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm worried about, though? I am worried about the amount of consumption of juices and smoothies that's happening. Like, no one's encouraging, let's eat and chew and use our jaws. I feel like at some point we're going to be cruising through on you. It's also on the phone and sleeping.
That's like, all people, that's all people are doing. No, so. Exactly.
But no, I promise there are veggies and fruits in the meals as well.
Well, we have to do...
You can see the remnants. You can see the remnants of fiber.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, so you see remnants of fiber.
Mm.
Listen, remnants. See that image there? Is that an image of one of your samples, Wena Garrett, since you're just doing what
I was going to say.
Consider how much we're not... Because, you know, chewing is important for speech, right? Because you have to work your jaw.
Correct.
So listen to the music that the youth is playing right now, from rap to just having a conversation with one of them.
Mm. They mumble. They can't speak properly.
Chew your food. Yeah. Stop juicing.
You know how people walk and they drag their feet? It drives me up the wall because those people are just lazy. Yeah. They're just lazy.
Irritating.
God, it's irritating. So the mumble rap and the way that you say that kids are talking now, that is the same for the mouth as dragging your feet is for your feet.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's pure. It's like this outward expression of the inside laziness.
It is so true.
Oh, my God.
I hate it when young people walk like that, though, because I go, what is it in your life that is weighing you down so much you can't lift a foot? I can walk like that. I can tell you many reasons why. When you're that age, I'm like, what's your problem? What's wrong?
Right, exactly. So a lot of people on the comments are talking about what they're cooking for Christmas, which is always interesting because I don't, this turkey thing has never appealed to me. We did turkey once or twice.
No, oh, but Gareth, you're actually banned from talking about food because we know your feelings on food. You would rather take a tablet than eat a meal.
Sure.
But I mean, when it comes to Christmas turkey and gammon.
I have feelings too, Leanne. You don't have to shut me down on a Friday morning. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you why I don't like the turkey thing. And this is simple because turkey's tasteless and boring. And also it's just a big chicken and chicken can be done much better than turkey. So I would rather have two chickens, enough for everybody, or three chickens, however many you need, than one fucking turkey. That turkey's boring. It's not interesting. And also for some reason, I always get like sleepy after I've eaten turkey. What is that?
There's a hormone in turkey that makes you sleepy. And that's why they say don't put turkey on your sandwich for lunch at work.
Oh.
But yeah, so I agree with you as well. And also, but it's the extra stuff that makes it nice. And also you're going to have stuffing, you're going to have gammon.
Hmm.
Maybe some people do lamb for Christmas as well.
We do hard body. And that's the one thing I don't miss about going to do a traditional Christmas at home is that for those who don't know what's a hard body is you spot the chicken running there and then you pick the ones you want to eat and then the kids catch the things and then you slaughter it yourself. That thing is hard. You must cook it the whole day. Like when you have to eat it, you have to fix your soul, fix your jaw, be prepared because
the inner vegan in me is crying.
I would love to.
I don't miss the hat booth, you guys.
I would love to see Dumi running around as a little girl chasing the chicken and killing it.
It was my favorite thing. And every time I got too close, I'd start slowing down because I don't actually want to catch it. Someone else to catch it. I was in it for the breaking of the neck.
Oh, my lord.
Friend, Leanne, you'll be strong, friend. We do these things.
I used to.
I promise you that chicken doesn't suffer though. If you have, that's why no. you never let the kids do it. You don't let a young person do it. You always let the older Danny's do it. Because like, it's gone. You say,
yeah. And then it stops.
I killed a chicken by opening an electric gate once.
What?
So I went for these slimming treatments where they put you in. It's almost like jumping castle plastic. It's like a bodysuit of this jumping castle plastic, and they feed this vacuum into it, right? So it blows you up, and then slowly it sucks to your body and squishes you.
Yeah,
and
that sounds like a big waste of money. Did you seriously lose weight?
I lost centimeters, but it's purely because, like, if you take a juicy piece of meat and squeeze it in your hand, it's gonna look smaller, right? So I may have had the same density.
This is such a wacky treatment. Did you get this from a sangoma on a cell phone number on a flyer?
It was through my hairdresser. She had this friend who did these treatments.
Yeah.
And they leave you alone in the room, but I promise you, you feel like you're dying. Like, this thing's not going to stop. It's not going to know when to stop squeezing you. Anyway, and then they measure you straight afterwards when you're still like all sucked up and squished.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, I got into my car and decided to leave. And she was originally from Durban. She had a farm in KZN. And for some reason, she brought all the chickens up, and the chickens were the kids' pets. And when I left, she opened the gate and it swung open slowly, and I could see the chicken behind this gate. And it wasn't moving out the way. And eventually this gate pushed it against the wall. And like the very machine I had just come out of, squashed it. And when the gate closed, its head was hanging over limply and the body was still running. Oh, Jesus. Lord.
Friend, it sounds like a suicide. It sounds a little bit like a suicide.
You think that was a chicken suicide?
I don't know. It sounds like a chicken suicide. Come on, there's all these other ones. You by yourself decide I'm going to randomly be waiting there by the wall that the gate hits, and I'm just going to by accident just get squashed. That chicken had enough. Oh, it was like, listen, I'm either here to be a KFC or I'm here to go and be a hard body. You can't now. I'm a pet. Like, imagine the kind of identity crisis for that poor bird, which was born knowing, I'm going to be delicious for somebody. No, you're not delicious. Your name is Dolores, and you are loved by these children who pet you every day and feed you for no reason. And you're like, I'm getting fat for what? Not going to satisfy anybody. No one's going to eat me. What do you mean?
Chicken suicide.
Do you know how much happier I feel that it was the chicken's choice?
No.
It's actually, like, changed my life.
To me, you've just unburdened Leanne of years and years of trauma. Like, she suffered worrying about this fucking chicken. And now you've just made her feel better. So thank you, Dooms. I knew there was a good reason to have you on.
Leanne, please. You have to read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Because there's a planet where the cow presents itself to you and tells you how much it worked on that ramp. You must tell it which part of its ramp you want. And then it goes, great, I'm going back there to the avatar to go back. And they will send you my little piece of rump. I think that's the kind of planet you want to live on, everybody has a choice. Where the meat is going, I want to be eaten. Yeah. I want to be sautéed for you.
Hey, listen.
If only that
quickly,
was the real world.
Because
I love meat.
Before we move on, no. Well, listen, I'm never going to become a vegan. There's not a chance. I will be the last carnivore on Earth. Before they stop everybody from doing that. Before we get to Nikita, who's going to join us in a moment, she sent me a really interesting message about the lockdowns in Australia, because there's a lot of misconceptions about that. And we'll find out where she is, because it sounds like that place is a prison at the moment. But we'll get to it in a minute.
Oh, Nikita, will she ever know?
Yes, exactly. Right. Hilarious. That's, you know what, Leanne? That's only funny if you actually lived through the 80s. First of all, you have to know what the Berlin Wall is. Second of all, you have to remember that song by Elton John. Third of all, you have to remember that Elton John made like the whole song about this girl called Nikita, even though he's gay, who lived over the wall and who he was supposedly going to marry and take to the West. You remember that music video? They used to show it.
That's being in the closet hard.
They used to show that music video all the time on SABC. All the time.
Really?
Yeah. I remember it well. No, it is a good song. But before we get to Nikita and the situation in Oz, I was just thinking with all of these, you know, people who are eating this and that, they're people who've got like great recipes. As Kirtan says, his wife does it like chicken or turkey with Indian spices and stuff. And lots of people have got their own thing. Peter agrees turkey is dry and unappetizing. He prefers chicken. Bhavish says a lekker lamb roast. Okay, you see. So lots of people, but lamb is expensive. Listen, meat is expensive, full stop at the moment. Jesus. Here we go. Cabello says, my favorite part is after cutting its neck and it runs around headless, the chicken. Do they do that, though? Because I grew up on a chicken farm. We used to farm with chickens, and I used to see them slaughtering them, and then they didn't run around. Sorry. After that knife goes through, boom, that's it. No life in that
Maybe
thing.
If you didn't cut the jugular properly, then it... Does a chicken have a jugular? I don't know.
Maybe
there's something you didn't cut then.
I don't know. Anyway, listen, so Kirtan says he's very proud of his wife's way of making turkey with Indian spices. You won't think you're eating turkey. Yeah. I will send a picture on Christmas Day. All right, do that. That's a good idea.
What do you think you're eating?
What's that doing?
What will you think you're eating? He said you won't think you're eating turkey. Great. What will you think you're eating?
Listen to this.
But what's also difficult is the heat that we deal with usually. I mean, who knows with this weather, but it's usually a hot day. Mm. So like we let the meat cool down and we have it with salads and cooling things.
Yeah. Like a cold lunch. Inga says, I did a treatment where they rub you with cream and then plastic wrap you like a mummy. It's not for the claustrophobic. That sounds hectic.
Yeah. Done that one as well. This is why I'm so thin, because of all these treatments that I've done.
When I first read that, my mind went elsewhere. When he said they did a treatment with a rip in cream on against, and then I realized it's not the
All right. Well, we'll get to some headlines in a minute or two. We'll also talk about some other stuff that is in the news. But first, let's get Nikita on here. Hey, Nikita, how are you?
Hi, guys. Good. How are you?
Good. Where in Australia are you, for starters?
I'm in Sydney, Obviously everyone knows Sydney, but yeah. It's in the state of New South Wales.
So you've got that guy called what's his name? The governor of New South Wales. What's his name?
No. So the one who's been made famous really is the Premier of Victoria.
Oh, dictator. So that's Dictator Dan.
Dan Andrews.
Right.
Yeah, so Dan Andrews is the Premier of Victoria, and then Dom Perrottet is the Premier of New South Wales.
Okay. All right, so what's it like in New South Wales at the moment? Can you have visitors come to you for Christmas?
So it's – although Australia's one country, the states really rule the roost.
It's federal.
So it's – yeah, the federal government. So, every state has different rules and has – really managed the pandemic differently. So New South Wales we have the most cases at the moment, but the restrictions have been dropped. So we don't have to check in any longer we used to have to check in with QR codes at every venue. We don't have to do that. And we don't have to wear masks in most venues now. So he's dropped a lot of the rules, even though the cases are going up. So,
that's good news. Sydney. All right, that's very good news, because I heard from a friend of mine just the other day, and he's in Sydney as well, and he said, no, listen, you're still doing the QR codes. Apparently, everywhere you go, you have to QR code. Is that right?
Yeah. So that was it. So it was dropped. The QR codes were dropped on Wednesday, on the 15th. So we no longer have to do the QR codes, and only some places require masks. So public transport, but not in like certain retail shops and restaurants and that we don't have to wear masks anymore.
But now a QR code thing, is that, it's a smartphone thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's so we've got, you can,
it's yeah, not we've something got that apps. You can get away with a non-smartphone, a dumb phone.
No. Yeah. So we all have apps everyone, on our phones.
Does everyone in Australia have a smartphone?
Pretty much. So wow. You have an app on your phone, like per state, each state has an app. And then you use the app to check in. And what they've been doing is using that in order to contact trace. So every time there's a positive person who's been in that venue at that time, they then contact everybody else who was in that venue at that time. And then you have to go and test and isolate.
And can you not bullshit the QR code thing? Because I'm thinking in South Africa, people would find a way around that in like 5 minutes. And most of us just wouldn't bother.
Yeah, so I think that's the difference in how Australians are quite different, is that they're very used to following rules. So, they're pretty good at checking in. Or if you don't want to check in with your phone, then you can write down your name and number at the venue. Obviously, you could bullshit that.
Yeah, of course,
there's probably are a lot of people who have bullshitted, but most people have been following the rules. So,
all right. So what is this stuff that we hear about how, you know, you guys can't have visitors to your houses? And I mean, maybe this has changed recently, but like up to a short while ago, that if there was someone in your house who wasn't a resident there and the cops came a knocking, that they would arrest people in that house. Is that what was happening?
So I didn't hear of any of that, to be honest. But there were definitely rules around how many people you could have in your house at one time. So I live on my own and I was allowed a singles bubble. So you could pick one person and they could be your singles partner. So your friend could come to your house, but I couldn't go to my friend's house because she has a partner. So that would mean I would be breaking the rules. So at one time when the cases went up in New South Wales, they did do those restrictions and you could only have a certain number of people to your house or your family, in other words, but you couldn't have guests. But now a lot of that has gone away because they sort of abandoned COVID zero.
Yeah.
Because the Delta just spread really quickly. So,
well, there is no COVID zero. It's never going to be like that. That's why these politicians are morons. But anyway, we'll move on to like how it feels, because I'm interested. I mean, I love getting a message from you. I like it when people tell me what's actually happening, because a lot of rumor and bullshit spreads around. But
I mean, the biggest thing was around the quarantine is that people were thinking that people were in concentration camps or something, and that's not true. I mean, they have dedicated. So most of the quarantine has been done in hotels, but that obviously poses a greater risk because hotels are in the high density areas. So they used one of the mining camps, which is used as a fly in fly out facility in, it's about 30 kilometers from Darwin. It's called Howard Springs. And they used that facility as, I mean, even the Olympians were there when they came back. So that's what they were using. And that's the one which has fences, but I mean, it's not
I watched a news report that was on an Australian news channel. I wish I could find it because then I'd tell you what it is. It didn't look like bullshit to me, but they were basically talking about these teenagers who escaped from this facility and were found wandering. You know, they referred to them as escapees. They were apprehended was the word they used. Just outside of like 6 kilometers, this place. And I'm like, you're talking about people like they're prisoners.
Yeah. I mean, and I think we've all understood how media really does twist things in this pandemic. So, but I mean, the rules are you stay there for 14 days and everyone who's come into the country has had to abide by those rules. So they tried to escape the facility.
Do you like, I mean, this is obviously, you know, this is a hard question, but you don't have to answer it. Do you like living in a society with there are rules? Are you happy to have, you know, kind of a government that pretends or says that it cares about you and is trying to keep you safe? Does that make you feel better? Because, I mean, here, obviously, we just know they're talking shit, so we just pay no attention.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I've only been here for 2 years, but I think that's been the biggest realization for me is that, like, the way we live in South Africa is we complain a lot about things that don't get done, But then that requires government to have a lot more control. So you can't have, you can't really have best of both worlds. No. I mean, I don't think there's any country that's got it right. So if you want things to work and you want your services to be delivered, then you have to have a government that has more control.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in South Africa, it's, we have that freedom where we don't have to sort of listen to government.
Well, that is why I'm glad.
Yeah,
that's why I'm glad I'm here. And you, you know, I'm happy that you've made your decision to be there. And I hope that you're happy. That's why I'm asking, do you feel better about it? Because I kind of, I realized in the last 2 years how much I love having an incompetent government. I can do what I want. Great. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, and I think moving away from South Africa has made me love South Africa more because, I mean, take governments away. Yeah, I think that we complain a lot in South Africa and there's just so much beauty about our country. I think we have the best people in the world. Honestly, like you can't get people like South Africans. Even here, we congregate together. I have friends who've been here for 13 years and they don't have Australian friends because they've all just, they move away. And it sounds stupid. I know it sounds ridiculous. Like, why don't you just go back to South Africa?
Yeah.
But they've made their lives here over the 13 years and they've made friends with South Africans again because, yeah. So I just think like we need to be more appreciative of our country. It's a great place to be. We've got so much to love.
Do you
need to stop complaining?
So you said you've spoken to a lot of South Africans that also live there. Do the South Africans get into more trouble than the Australians because we don't care about rules?
So there's a lot of things that you need to learn here because, like, I mean, there's things that slip through the cracks. Like, you're like, oh, sure, but I can't do that. Like, crossing the road. You can't just cross the road anywhere. You have to cross at a green man or at a pedestrian crossing because you get a fine if you just cross the road in the middle of nowhere. And when I first came here, I was like, oh, I didn't know that you have to do that. There's even a joke that what's the first thing that that a South African loses when they come to Australia? Driver's license.
Yeah, I can believe it.
So, yeah.
Well, Elon.
Yeah, it's like sometimes I have these dreams where I'm with a guy and I'm having this awesome dream, and then I realize in my dream that I'm actually in a relationship and I'm busy cheating, and it must feel almost like that where you're crossing you're jaywalking and you're back in South Africa in your head, and then it's like, oh my gosh.
Leanne, I don't know what kind of an example you were trying to make there, but I think we need to sit you down for some therapy. A relationship expert needs to talk to you a little bit. That sounds like you've got hangover trauma.
I can't say I've had that experience.
No, you know, it's just interesting to me. Like Elon is God says here, if I lived in Australia, I would be in prison already. I've been in situations where I should have been arrested. If it was all fixed with a bribe and a good chat to the police in Australia, obviously you can't get away with that. They are pretty strict about things, right? And Sydney used to be one of the most liberal, open cities in the world. It probably still is, but you can't be gathering with people now. It's that they won't allow you to do that. And people are compliant.
Yeah, now we can.
They follow the rules.
Very few restrictions.
Okay.
I mean, as I say, there's pros and cons to every place, and I feel that we think that everything is going to be greater when we move overseas as South Africans, and I think we just need to remind ourselves that we've got a great piece of land.
I love it.
To make the most of it.
I love it. All right. Listen, thanks, Nikita. I'm glad you cleared that up for us. I don't want to be spreading misinformation.
Yeah, no worries, guys.
Bullshit. Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice to see you.
All right. Cheers.
Happy Christmas in Oz.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys, too.
All right. Cheers. There's Nikita. Yeah, I couldn't live in a rural society. I realized, I said this on the show the other day, during lockdown, like, we are really lucky to be in South Africa. Dumi, you were in America when Corona broke out, right? So you know as well, like, they don't mess around in these other countries. They have rules and people stick to them. Here in this country, we're like, maybe we'll follow the rules, maybe we won't. I love that. That's why I live here.
You can always make some kind of excuse.
The law is a suggestion.
It's a suggestion.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you came back because you were in America for lockdown, right, in the first couple of months. I remember we spoke to you over there.
Mm.
Yeah, and they were a lot more strict than they are here.
Yeah, I found it weird. I don't know. Like it's very weird to suddenly find yourself going, I can't freestyle the law here.
No, it's very different.
Otherwise, I mean, cuck. Here we go with the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law.
Yeah, it's just a gesture.
But I must say, I like Australia. It didn't feel as hectic. I just had the Uber driver who was Australian telling me how the way South Africans like bad mouth South Africa.
Oh, really?
I wanted to know if it's that bad. And I was like, no. Mm. Yeah. And I was like, no, it's cool. Some people are just here because, you know, they couldn't make it back home and they made it here because, you know, the dollar's nicer. Like, don't listen to those guys. They're just bitter. Sure. They miss home. They just want to convince you they don't want to come home, but they actually, they want to come home. They mustn't. Because we do comedy shows and there'd be a lot of South Africans there who live in South Africa and who live in Australia and, mm-hmm. you know, they just want to hear a little bit of Afrikaans and they want to hear what's happening in home. And they want to hear the kind of material. And I'm like, guys, just say you're homesick. That's all. Everyone hates home.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
But it was funny because I was at the visa center and then, what do they call that place? That one to go get my visa. And these people were staring at me. And I was wondering, are they thinking it must be really bad if even the blacks are trying to go to Australia now? Because I was the only black in there waiting for my visa. But I said, why are these people staring at me? I wasn't talking. God, I was hilarious. Just sitting there waiting. And I was like, they must be thinking, listen, Lorraine is bad. Huh? They're also leaving. They're also coming to Australia. That bad.
The blacks. Listen, Leanne.
The blacks.
Alice says, apart from the chicken, I think Leanne would be in prison for a multitude of other reasons in Australia as well. Yeah, but that chicken would definitely get you into big trouble in Australia. That's for sure.
I'm sorry. I would be your lawyer, friend. That chicken intended to hurt itself. Me, I got your back.
All right. We come back,
we're
going to take a quick break now. It's 7 o'clock already. We'll come back with, among other things, South Africa's original bachelor, Lee, has written a tell-all book about his life and what really went on. And Leanne, we had to do this on a day you're here because I didn't watch that show. So as you know, we need you with your insights. So he's written about a whole lot of stuff in the book, and he'll tell us some of the juicy things that he reveals in the book. That's all coming up in the next hour. Plus, we've got lots of other cool stuff. Tumi Morake is here, Leanne Moll, you, me, and a Friday morning. It's very nice. This is cliffcentral.com. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day.
Cliffcentral.com.